Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barb, here with you. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, Johnny. Hi. How are you doing today on this Tuesday?
And good. And I just, one of the things that I love is that this is something that you have created. This is a series that you made. It was your idea, and a very brilliant idea, by the way. So why don't you tell us about
this? Playboy Playmate come on the radio on your show, Johnny. Yeah. Don't tell me it's all my idea. You, when I started working for you, you said, Barbara, it would be great if you brought some of your friends on the show. So I getting writers and lawyers and all these people on the show, and he's like, no, your other friends. I'm like, oh, you want Playboy Playmates on the show? Oh, my gosh. And then it caused two ladies to be fired because they got a bad attitude about it.
Well, you know, honestly, if you are my co-host and you can't bring your friends on, that's pretty insulting to you. You have every right to bring your friends on, you know?
Yes. But
so why don't you tell
also
us?
Were looking for Playboy Playmates because...
I was, yes.
Okay. That's how you found me, because you sent out a lot of requests to have them come on the show with you. And I just
and
thought
I'll tell
I was
you,
a guest.
This is something that I can believe is true about Playmates. I was thinking about this. Playboy Playmate is the one celebrity that if you put them in a room with a bunch of other celebrities, all of those other celebrities will seek the Playmate out. In other words, if you're in a room with a bunch of soap opera stars, everyone is going to want to talk to the Playmate. And I think that's true. I think that – would you say that's true, both of you?
Absolutely.
Wait, no. Don't ask her yet, please.
Okay.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows our surprise Playboy Playmate Centerfold guest yet, Johnny.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, hold on. You talk while I am on 1960. Well, no, late 60s. I'm going to look for the centerfold and have it open while you introduce our guest. So go ahead, Johnny.
Our guest today is Playboy Playmate Miss October 1967 Regan Milson. Now,
hi, Regan.
It says here that.
Let's hear her voice. Hi, Regan. How are you?
Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Barbara. It's so nice to be on your show.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice again. And last week, but to see you at those glamour cons, oh, my gosh. You were always a ray of light. And you know what?
Oh.
You haven't changed a bit, I bet. I didn't know you back then when you were a centerfold.
Yeah.
Like the brand new centerfold. But I can tell you have not lost any youthful verve for life, but you stood out amongst that generation. Oh,
thank you. You too, darling. You're so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Well, okay, Johnny, you go ahead with the rest of the introduction.
Now, this is what's interesting. It says that when you arrived, she found out that you were the sensation of the town. And that when your phone was ringing off the hook with offers, many of the boys who went to high school with you, who never gave you a second look, were now calling. Of course, you turned them down.
Well, the thing is, Jonathan, I was a bookworm. I was not a popular girl. I was shy, very tall. I wore glasses, and I was not, you know, one of the cute little cheerleading girls. I wasn't. I was, you know, being a tall girl and being rather shy, and I was very studious. I just didn't have a lot of dates. I wasn't Miss Popularity.
Well, what about you, Regan? What about what you were looking at in the mirror? Didn't you see, hey, I've got a great jawline. I have great shaped eyes. Really?
No, I was extremely shy. I don't know. I thought I was okay, but it wasn't until I graduated from high school and went with a girlfriend on a Greyhound bus before college. I was starting college that fall, and my parents said, you can go visit my dad, who, you know, they were divorced, but he lived in L.A., and I went with a girlfriend. And once I got to California, to L.A., my dad lived in L.A., I got a job as a file clerk at Blue Cross Insurance Company, you know. And all the other girls were wearing, you know, mini skirts, which I had never seen, and we were all young. And they said,
from where?
You could be – yeah, pardon?
From where did you
– Missoula, Montana.
Where?
Yeah. I went to school in Missoula, Montana, and that's where I grew up. My father, I was born in California, but my parents were divorced. So anyway, after high school, I went to visit my dad and ended back up in Hollywood, in L.A. And so I wearing these boring Montana clothes, and it was just the start of the, you know, the swinging 60s. So these girls took me shopping, and I got my hair done, and I was wearing boots and mini skirts. And that started my whole, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I decided I wanted to be an actress. So that was the beginning. Yeah, 18.
Okay. Before you go on, because this is really exciting, because you just kind of fell into what I think that you really were meant to do. But, wow.
That's true.
I mean, you're so young. You got on the Greyhound bus with, was it a friend from Montana? How did she know the ropes in Los Angeles?
Well, she didn't. She was just my mother was friend with her mother. Her sister lived in L.A. And it was just, you know, two teenage girls going for the summer. And we had,
places to stay. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So your dad was cool. Was he a cool guy? Did you think, wow, maybe I could live here? Or did you just say, I'm visiting and then I'm shopping and I'm going to clubs and
red cowboy. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, once I met these girlfriends and my dad was not, you know, he wasn't real strict, but I had a curfew, but I was going dancing, you know, at the different clubs and going to the beach with, it all started that whole summer of the 60s. It began my whole metamorphosis, and I thought
developed your body by 18, because
I had no idea that I was a cute girl. It wasn't until guys started to notice me and I started to get asked out on dates that I said, you know, I never had really dated. I was extremely naive. And anyway, it was my father and I got along to a certain extent, but he wasn't that happy with me going out. You know, I didn't stay out all night, but ended up moving in with a girlfriend, getting an apartment.
Okay,
and
set this up for us, though, before you talk about your girlfriend and going out and your dad's probably thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, you come as this country girl from Montana, and then pretty soon you're saying bye-bye in hot mini skirts, and you don't even know what you have yet. And I'm staring right here at your centerfold, and that's making so much sense because you are amongst bales of hay, a rope, and just a little button-up blue a shirt, cute, and then
We didn't have makeup artists then.
And, okay, but hold on.
We had no.
Body is perfect. And back then they didn't have breast implants. Oh my gosh!
No, I didn't know what
figure,
they were.
I mean, I don't want to be crass, but wow, you really were given. You were blessed. You were blessed by God, and the thing.
Well, I didn't plan it, and. No, it was one thing that happened, which was interesting. My uncle was a cameraman at a TV station, and he was a very nice man. I went to visit him one day, and they were in a commercial at the beach, and didn't show up, and it was like a beach blanket bingo kind of thing. And my uncle said, well, use my niece. You know, she's cute and will fit into the bikini. And they ended up giving me lines, and I got my SAG card. That
wow. Fair,
that just happened. And so that was part of what happened. And before I knew it, I signed with an agency, and I was doing modeling and supporting myself. And I had been at the beach one day wearing, I loved yellow bikinis, and this gentleman came to Rogers Beach, and he said, if you ever want to be a Playboy, give me a call.
Yeah.
I didn't know what Playboy was. I had no idea.
That is funny. Many
yeah.
don't. Many have not, though. Okay. And
yeah.
So he was a scout?
Yeah, he had something to do with Playboy. I don't think he was a photographer, but, you know, Playboy in those days was not sold on the newsstands. It was by subscription only, and it was considered a very classy magazine. It would be at a lawyer's, you know, office maybe, but it was, you know, taken very, I mean, it was a very prestigious magazine, but
yes.
it still wasn't easily available everywhere.
Right. But
yeah.
But you knew
right.
that, though. So.
No,
okay,
I didn't know much.
So that never changed, thank goodness.
I have a question. You know, I have heard from, well, actually, and I'm not saying that you did or did not run into this, but I've ran into a lot of Playmates who say, well, what happens is that there's people who claim they're from Playboy, but they're not in Playboy, and then in something dangerous happens to them. Did that ever happen back then?
I don't. You know what? I don't know. I just saw the card. I saw the guy's name. And I'm, you know, I asked what it was, and, you know, I think I saw a copy of the magazine, but I was thinking, oh, I can't do this. I was too shy. And about a year went by, and I was dating a nice guy. He was about my age. And he said, you know, they've asked you to be in Playboy. And he said, if I refer you, I'll get the finder's fee. So I
How
said,
much
okay.
was it back then?
I don't even remember, but, you know, it was way back in the day. So he called them, and they set me up with the photographer, Ron Vogel. And
yes.
We
Vogel's
shot.
Vogel's father, right?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Okay.
And
great
he,
photographer.
Yes, really great. And it wasn't in a studio. It was, he had a big house in the valley, and he had everything set up. Well, first of all, they did the test shots, and Playboy accepted me in like a week. They said, definitely. So he was ready to go, and they wanted me. I was the only Playmate from Montana, so they came up with this idea of me being in a haystack.
That's
which,
so adorable. It's so good.
The last thing I wanted to do was be in a friggin' haystack.
But
they built
a haystack
in the backyard. And so the whole layout was with me, you know, I did have a horse in Montana, so they rented, you know, there's a horse equestrian center, and they had pictures of me on this horse, and then I got a part in Big Valley, so that was filmed,
okay, so
and then my
centerfold
was, yeah, was in and this very uncomfortable haystack. That
I was going to ask you, because that pokes. Your skin hay is just the worst.
Oh, it's awful. It's
here.
Just horrific. And it was hard.
Oh.
I mean, you know, you know what it's like, Barbara, to shoot a centerfold. And I was
well,
always...
You had to be on your tippy toes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's what happened. And I partly did it because I really wanted a Mustang. And with my Playboy money, I mm-hmm. went to a dealership, and I'll never forget the sales guy, you know, was very condescending and said, well, who's co-signing for this young lady? You know, I mean, they were very chauvinistic then. And I picked out, I wanted a beautiful orange car with white leather wheels, and I said, I want that one. And he told me the price, and he said, I figure you're going to get a co-sign. He says, no, if you throw in this and that, I'll pay cash. And that was what I did.
Wow. I bet you just blew their socks off. And what a wonderful feeling. It just gave me chills. And did you feel when your – okay, it doesn't hit the stands because back then it was only mail order. So did you ever feel like, okay, it's out? And that moment that it was out, did you feel like you were an instant celebrity?
No, not at all. Because I really dressed, I was really not I wasn't a hippie, but I dressed very down. I was going to acting class. You know, I wasn't really walking around all the time in mini skirts. You know, I'd go to the beach a lot, and people never really said, I never got recognized as a playmate.
Yeah, sometimes that does happen. I was wondering, how tall were you?
5'10".
So you really looked like you were a high fashion model. So you probably...
No, I don't know. I mean, I have pictures of myself, and I was playing a guitar. I mean, I never was into the real Hollywood clubbing so much night. I was really studying acting.
So
I was working a lot.
Bug.
Yeah, I went to acting
Tell
school.
Tell us then. You must have gotten parts right away because it seems like
well,
everybody
not right.
wants
I mean, they were.
Playmate.
They it was hard. You know, it's not an easy business. But yeah, I mean, it's just. Every part I got, I got very good reviews, and I got nice commentaries like Laugh In. Everybody I worked at, Carol Burnett. I mean, I love comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you did that primarily?
Yeah, I'm sorry, what? Not stand-up comedy, but like when I was...
Because Johnny knows a lot of movies and... Don't you? I know things from the 60s and 70s. I love Carol Burnett. Were
now,
you on
Carol
Burnett?
Burnett? I know something about that. Yeah, I mean, I know that it I know, but I'm not like a trivia person, but I think what you're saying is you did, like, you're talking about, like, it says here in your bio that, like, when Carson did the Karnak, that you bring out the envelope. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
Wow.
They would have some up-and-coming actress when Johnny was still in New York and he was coming out to Burbank to film. He hadn't moved completely. So he would be on the stage, you know, ready to make a commercial, and then whatever young starlet, you know, they chose, I walked out, and I remember I was so nervous. I had no lines. I'm giving this envelope and ad-libbing with Johnny Carson.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, in a live audience.
Yes. Wow.
And
I mean, I can imagine. Was it two shows? No, it was just one show. But the anticipation, I can just imagine, and the live audience. And you are brand new in L.A. Tell us how that went.
Well, I had been doing promotions for Playboy, and it paid pretty well, and it allowed me to, you know, I had a very nice apartment. I always lived in a nice place. It was important to me, and I had my own car. So the Playboy promotions, I did 5 a month that paid for all my bills, and I could do my acting interviews. So
wow.
I was traveling around the country doing promotions, and one of them was in Dallas, Texas, and it was for some clothing company at some convention center, I don't remember, and who's in the booth next to me but Johnny Carson, who's there with his clothing line.
Wow.
And he's so charming. And we just started talking. And, you know, he said, hi, I'm Donnie. I said, hi, I'm Reagan. And we're schmoozing away. And so I walked out on the stage with the envelope. You know, they do that little drum thing. He says, well, hello, who are you? And I said, well, Johnny, it's Reagan. Don't you remember me from Dallas? So
yeah.
Anyway, it started everything rolling. I mean, we ad-libbed very well together. I mean, he
That's
made
awesome.
It easy. Yeah.
So it just, he knew he would be able to just pull the best out of you, which probably happened. Do you see it on YouTube? I bet you could find that on YouTube.
God, I've never even tried to search. I mean, he's been on so many shows. Who knows? I don't know. I have no
idea. You
never
know, but it's fun. It's fun
yeah.
to then find yourself. And
yeah.
And so you
yeah.
were saying also you were on Carol Burnett.
Yeah, I did quite. I was on a lot of variety shows. I'm trying to think of all of them. Big Valley, Beverly Hillbillies. I'm trying to think. Jonathan Winters. Pardon?
I loved the Munsters back then.
Yeah, oh, the Munsters, yeah, the Munsters. And then there were lots of interviews and this and that. I did a movie in New York, and I did a national commercial for Newport Cigarettes, and I was doing
wow.
some vodka ads, and I was in Cosmopolitan for beauty ads. So I did a photographer I really liked in New York named Armand Gilly. He was a great photographer, and we did a lot of work together. I did the Greek Airlines promo,
wow.
and it was a big deal. So things like that started happening. So I
You've
started
so
to work
much.
In New York. Well,
did,
you know, I mean, do you know Connie Caston? Yeah,
awesome.
I did not even tell people I was a playmate when I went to New York. I used my maiden name because back then it probably would have hurt to have been modeling in New York being a playmate. Maybe not now, but
yes,
then it did.
So you just used it when you needed it. And,
yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
the five promotions per
mm-hmm.
month, that's amazing. Done. Bill's done. Now you have freedom to go study your craft. You're getting parts. You're modeling.
Right.
And you're taken seriously when you go there and not you know.
Not as a playmate.
Taken
yeah.
as a sexy pot, sex kitten, whatever, anything to do with
yeah.
it. So I love that, how you were able to use it when you wanted to and then not to. So,
yeah.
mm-hmm. okay, during the time, though, the centerfold shooting was uncomfortable, but how about the nudity? I mean, the haystacks were uncomfortable. Well, what about the nudity? How did you feel? Because back then, like you're talking a lot about back then, things were different. And we know that. So a lot of people.
Well,
might
truthfully,
be kind of
if you look at my centerfold, if you really want to look at it, there's hardly any nudity. I'm wearing a blouse.
Well, it's just topless. Yes.
And you see my leg, but it's pin-up more than real. They didn't do frontal nudity. And there was, then, of course, you know, you do the calendar shot and you do other pictures. But it always was in the context of wearing some sort of blouse. And then my other pictures, I'm with a horse. I'm on a, you know, it was pretty tame, you know.
Well, it is
by today's standards.
Gorgeous. But
yeah.
I am looking through your year in the play, the complete centerfolds, 1953 to 2016. And your year, a lot of them are not bottomless, but some are completely nude, but it would be from the side view. So it was very tame, but still it is nudity. It's a very, very prestigious magazine. How did your mom react to
Oh, my God. My mother loved it.
Oh, cool.
She just thought it, because I went back to Missoula, Montana when my, like a few months after I went back and staying at my, you know, my mother's house. And she was thrilled that she was, it was because I was like a celebrity in Missoula, Montana. You know, it was on the front page of the paper, and my orthodontist called, and he wanted credit for my teeth, and, really, you know, popular boys in college. You know, I went out, you know, to you know, Missoula's a college town. The University of Montana is there, and a lot of cute guys live there. You know, and I'd go out. I love dancing, and I started asked out by guys who never gave me a tumble in high school. So I wasn't interested in them, you know. So it was fun. My father, my grandfather, he was not thrilled. He went all over Missoula in his little Ford, and he bought all the copies of Playboy, you know, because they were only sold at men's club and some drugstores. And that just made them buy more. And he had all these Playboys in a box in the basement. So
that's crazy, trying to buy them all up so nobody could
see
you. Oh, my gosh. But your dad was okay, right?
She didn't say. My dad never said a word about it.
He had another playmate whose dad didn't say anything about it. And
yeah.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That's funny, because these are things that you would think, oh, my gosh, people would be afraid to tell them. I was cool telling my dad. I knew he would think it was great. But my mom, it was different. But everybody's story is so different. And I love doing these interviews because I find out your story, which is
right,
so unique.
Right. Everyone is different. Yeah. And it's that's the sisterhood that we have. And I don't know. I've met girls at GlamourCon, and they said they've submitted their picture like 50 times, and they never got chosen. And it was totally, whatever happened was, like you say, a trajectory that I didn't even plan, and that's was the course. And when I tell my story, by the time
feeling grateful.
I'm very grateful because it opened many doors, and when I was getting burnt out from the acting, you know, run around, and I lost a huge part that I won't even go into, but the actor, girl who got it won an Academy Award. And I was heartbroken, and it was a lot of political things going on, and When you get higher up in the food chain, it's really a different ball game. And I had spent months and months on studying, and I got this part, and I signed a contract, and then she knew somebody I didn't know and got the part. So I was so really just horrified. I had a good friend who was a playmate some years before in New York. Her name was Delilah Henry, and she was living in New York, and she said, look, you're really tired of L.A. She lived in a beautiful building, a historical pre-war building on Riverside Drive overlooking the park. And she said, I'm really good terms with the manager. Come and see this apartment. So I flew out to New York, and I walked into this gorgeous apartment, and it was rent control in those days. So the rent was $300. And I said, I'm taking it. I'm moving to New York. And that was that.
And you just picked up and did it. And
I did. And then that opened another. And then I really, really started to model seriously. And those were the days of really good expense accounts. I had my first job was some suntan. It was in Jamaica, and they flew us to Jamaica, stayed at a beautiful hotel, and that was cool. I mean, I didn't like modeling, but I loved the traveling and the money.
Yes, but I knew it when I met you for the first time at GlamourCon. I saw you, and you are statuesque, and your features are just perfect. I mean,
oh, no. Thank you, Barbara. You too.
No, and I thought in my mind, this woman has really done something. She's been a model. I knew it. You have the look of the high fashion model. Yes, because you are one.
Thank you. Yeah, and so it was a good time to be in New York, and I went to Europe a lot, went to Paris, and I'd always wanted to live in Europe, so I spent a year and a half in living in France and England, and I learned some pretty good French, which I studied in high school. And so it was a time of real exploratory of my life, you know, doing these things that were just a dream, and here I am, I'm doing it.
Yeah. Wow. How wonderful. Yay. And I hope you have a great collection of photos in a safe place.
Oh, I do. I do.
Share them. Do you share them? And if so, tell the listeners where they can go see some of these photos and maybe even get to know you. Are you on Facebook?
LA, I'd call the mansion and go to a party or two and go to, you know, see some of the people I used to know. But I ended up meeting my husband in New York at a party that I gave with my girlfriend. And so I've been married now 35 years, and we met in New York, and he's a New Yorker.
Wow. It seems like you've had a charmed life, Reagan.
Oh, no. It's not been completely. No. What? I mean, I've had ups and downs like anybody,
okay.
You know.
But to the outsider, it looks like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
You just fell into this, and it's been a charmed life this whole time. Not that we want to know your total lows, but what were some of your roadblocks in life?
I lost my sister in a car accident at a very young age, and we were very close, and that was very painful.
Sorry.
Of that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How old were you when that happened?
She was 16, and I was 17.
Oh, whoa. That is, that's very deep. That is something that is part of you forever, which actually can form you. How did you change? Did you become more serious?
I it's just painful. I don't like to dwell too much, but it was very painful. And also, I never really did a lot of drugs, but I was partying, and I found out eventually that I wasn't really able to drink very well. I had some episodes where I was not doing well with alcohol, so I ended up going into AA.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That makes a person feel very empowered when they can conquer something. First, they realize there's a problem, and they go and take care of it. And if they conquer it, it's very empowering, isn't it?
Right. Right. You know, it's not everything. Well, those days, it was a people party, and, you know, everyone did. So it was part of the whole, you know, I was hanging out with Halston going to Studio 54, you know.
Oh,
I was
wow.
in that. Yeah. So I was around people that were intelligent, successful, but they also were, you know, a lot of them doing drugs, you know. So it was a time of, you know, great highs and great lows. You had to really
be,
you know, careful, or you could get, you know, swept away too. You know, like some other, you know.
And we've seen, probably you have, and I have seen them come and go. The town swallow them up. But you're strong. You had the strength, and you took from it what you needed and enjoyed it, sounds like, very immensely. But I do have a question. Everybody's probably wondering, what was your relationship with Hugh Hefner?
Very cordial. And I did not meet Hef until my centerfold had been out probably a year and a half. And I was at one, I don't remember where I was. Maybe I was doing a Playboy After Dark or some event. And we met the first time. it was he wasn't with Barbie. It was before. And he asked me out for dinner. And I was dating a boy. I was dating someone, and I thanked him. But I said, I am involved with someone, and that was it.
And he was very nice about it, eh?
Of course. Of course. I was also very good friends with Delilah.
Great relationship. You had a great relationship with him, no problems. And because Johnny was asking in the beginning about bad things that happened. Okay. Well, that is something that he's heard on the A&E special. We've heard about some Playboy bunnies getting into trouble. But so as a centerfold, you felt very protected. But did you hear about that happening where the
Holly met, just the Holly Madison coming out, and my opinion of Holly is she is a conniving, self-seeking, no talent, wannabe, and she would be at the parties just clinging to Hef, never had anything interesting to say, was very snobbish. And she waits till he's dead to come out with these complaints. Why didn't she leave anytime she wanted to?
I mean,
what was she doing? Right?
No integrity. I mean, here you are. You want to be a Playboy playmate so badly. Everybody knows that that's why you are there. And Hugh Hefner is saying you are not photogenic enough. And you still
She's not. She's not photogenic.
That is hitting it on the head.
That's it on the head. And I loved Hef. I respected him. But when he started this thing with the girl next door and, hey, you know, with these three or four girls next door, I thought it was ridiculous, as did a lot of the girls, you know, the playmates that I knew. I mean,
Talk about it. I mean, time we were doing something and they showed up and they were so snotty. They were very snotty, but you know what it was? Is they wanted to be us. Why else would they be there?
They wanted
to be a Playboy Playmate centerfold. And he did not make his girlfriend's playmate just because they were his girlfriends. And thank you, Hugh Hefner, because you kept it up high. The status symbol up high for us, and I appreciate that.
I think I was trying to clarify what I said. I wasn't talking about bad things from Playboy. I was talking about bad things from people pretending to be from Playboy. You know,
I just met this one guy at the beach, and he gave me his card, and it looked like the official Playboy card.
That's what I'm worried about. Because I know the women who get killed, and then
This is my rebuttal to that one. Why in the world, if you are living in L.A., a sleazy guy invites you to some party, which is not even at the Playboy Mansion, why don't you just call, look them up in the Yellow Pages, that's what I did, and call the office and ask them, how do I become a Playboy Playmate? Why don't you just do that? They had every Thursday a door open for you to come in very carefully and not in danger at their offices. Why didn't they just do that? I just cannot feel sorry for them, Reagan. I mean, come on. Look, be smart. Think before you leave or go somewhere weird with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think they're very naive, and, I don't know. You know, I just went to the mansion. I actually took my father to one of the parties at the mansion, and I didn't go there that often. It wasn't my scene. I know it was great, and I have some friends who live there, and it was perfect for them, but I always had my own place and my own home.
You had your own life.
I had my own life, and it's Playboy Mansion wasn't the center of my universe at all.
Right.
It was occasionally.
Me neither.
Yeah, no.
Right, the big parties. And so you were in New York and you had to fly in and everything. So, yeah, the big parties, that's one thing. There's a Midsummer Night's Dream. I'm sure you enjoyed many of them. And the New Year's Eve, and it was wonderful. But you were talking about your husband. Where did you say that you met him? In New York,
at a party that I gave with Delilah, who was a great friend of Hef's. She had worked, she was one of the really early playmates before me, and she became a bunny, and then she ended up working in his, in Chicago, in the office. She had a great eye. He put her, she did a lot of the graphics for him. And then she moved to New York and did very, very well as an interior designer. She became a very successful. Anyway, she and I were very good friends, and we gave parties like once or twice a year, and she invited all the great single guys she knew, and one of them was Barry. So that's where we met, at a party.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you say she was a Playboy bunny? Because we know Sandra Costa, who's a major interior designer,
bunny. I read about her. Yeah, I really would have liked to have met her. Delilah passed away. She was actually living here in San Miguel, and she died, unfortunately, some years ago. Yeah.
I never met her.
She was a really interesting lady, and when I was out in L.A., at one of the parties, I came by to say hi to Hef, and he asked how I'd been doing, and I said, well, I'm living in New York, and my friend, our mutual friend's Delilah, sends her best, and he was so excited. He said, I would love to talk to Delilah, and he really, really liked her. They had a great relationship. Well, she came out because my husband and I ended up moving to L.A., and Delilah would come out and stay at our place in Santa Monica for a couple months or a month or whatever around Christmas, and we would go to the Christmas party together and some of the big parties, so she went.
Would allow us to bring our husbands or boyfriends to the New Year's Eve party, which was really nice.
Yes, it was. It was. And we went to all the parties together, my husband and I, and we'd always sit. Did you know Nancy Harwood? Nancy Kelly?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Do you know that I was in 1992 and three of the playmates in my year have passed away?
Oh, God. Well, Nancy was just one of my dearest friends, and her husband Michael, and there was a group of us playmates from that era. We'd all sit together and have a great time at the parties, and we got to know each other and be friends. So it was great.
I was going to say something about the whole bad stuff that was said about. I hope I didn't cut in on anything, but
no.
I think the track record for him being nice is just too great. I mean, first of all, he had things that weren't just for the playmates, they were for the kids. Like, there was a video, there was a thing where there was an Easter egg hunt. And, I'm sure Barbara brought Priscilla a few times. None of this was forced.
He loved women. He loved women, and he did things for them. Some had children. So he would do the fun Easter egg hunts for them. And yes, my daughter won on the very last year before he passed away, Reagan. So she was just nine, and I'm like determined. They let the parents help, and we found 450 eggs. So she won, and he would give great prizes, a three-wheeler and a Hello Kitty helmet. I mean, he did love us. It doesn't hurt to hear these disparaging remarks about him and things that are just
so
absurd.
Well, it cheapens the whole legacy of Playboy. I mean, Playboy stood for so much equal rights. Hef was the first TV show that had black entertainers as on an equal footing as the one he had Marvin on.
Right.
You know?
The first time Aretha Franklin was able to walk into the front door and use the front door instead of the kitchen door.
Right.
That was the first time, yes.
Yeah, right. And they're just, you know, the thing is, Jonathan, these, well, I name Holly, and then I won't even say the other ones, but what? How many were there? I don't know, 10 or something of these women? And
yes.
Then you put it against the thousands of
right.
wonderful, cultivated, intelligent women who were greatly helped by being in Playboy, including one woman who's a concert violinist from Sweden.
Wow.
And she
yes.
asked to be my friend. I forgot her name, but she really came out against this, and she's a very well-known concert violinist, and said she stayed at the Playboy Mansion, was treated beautifully for months while she was there on auditions.
And
there
actually,
are just too many stories like that of the good things that he did.
It just seems like he wouldn't be able to stay in business if the guy was a jerk. But I will tell you some other thing that was interesting is it seems like I would talk to somebody. You know, I would talk to somebody about Playboy Playmates, these women who sometimes I would run into a woman who would be completely biased against them, and they would say, Playboy Playmates are stupid. Playboy Playmates are stupid. She keeps saying this to me. But the thing is that for a long time, and I've said this, Barbara, I think I told you this off the air and on the air, that whenever I think of Barbara, I always think of something about Mary because that's Barbara. But the thing is mm-hmm. that the first time I ever saw a movie where it portrayed a really, really beautiful woman with a really, really good heart. But it seems like every time you see it in a movie, they take this beautiful woman, they give her an IQ of a carrot, and with no personality. The thing is that Barbara has both. I mean, she has a really great personality, and she's really, really beautiful.
And
so,
most playmates do, because Hugh Hefner didn't just care about your looks. You stayed at the mansion. You met him. Your story was different. You met him after. But a lot of them fly in from other states, and we stay there, and he gets to know. You don't want to do anything wrong there, because that could even make you lose
right.
being a playmate. Kind
right.
of so, but, yes, back to your story, though. Everybody's story is so different. I loved how the scout found you on the beach, and you probably look fantastic. I mean, in your little yellow bikini, and you're just frolicking around. You didn't even know what you had, like your look.
No.
That is
right.
crazy.
Right. But I want to just say one more thing about all this awful A&E that they put. I know one playmate quite well. I won't say her name because, you know, it's her story. And she said she was contacted by A&E, but they only wanted horrible stuff, and all she had to say was positive. So A&E is an awful example of yellow, you know.
Yes.
Why aren't there hundreds and hundreds of women coming forward? You know what I mean?
And that's what they thought they would be flooding in. Like, they should have been
and,
here.
And
by
I think Holly, what's her name, is a despicable, really despicable creature. And like you say, she would die to be a playmate. And so mm-hmm. she's doing this whole, you know, oh, poor me, and this and that. Well, she was a Hooters waitress, for God's sake. And she had lived at the mansion and got, you know, money and fame. She could have left.
Plastic
I mean, so,
surgery.
Yeah.
Usually you come and you get playmate. You don't have to be sent to. And they were saying that, oh, Hef knows all the plastic surgeons to send people to. No, you would come and then you would get it that who you were. Why would they send people to plastic surgery when another one's coming naturally pretty right behind? A bit
absolutely.
Behind them.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So, but back to the A&E special, they did contact me and a few other playmates that I know, and Sandra Costa, the Playboy Bunny, too. And we all were saying such great things that they passed on us. But the, you know, the really adorable black bunny who's in it, she told Sandra that she's really upset with A&E because even though they never caught her saying one bad thing, except for, I mean, she did have a problem with a guy, but that wasn't in the club. It was something with a guy. But she's so mad that they had her in it because she's in this production that she doesn't want to be in because she did not know that they were going to focus on the negative. They were not honest with her. Or a really good friend, you know, the other one, Joel and Allison. Allison is upset, and Joel is too, that they're in it because that was one of that was their best friend. Hugh Hefner was their best friend. And so everybody's up in a roar, and I'm glad that you told us your opinion because now, I mean, we've interviewed, you are the 27th Playboy Playmate we've interviewed, and we interviewed many before that came out, and we've interviewed two that were in it. No, three, Donna Spear, Tylan John, and Christy Tom we've interviewed. But if you really take those three, they didn't say anything horrible about Hugh Hefner. They just were talking about things that happened in their life. And all Tylan John said, who was in my year, was that when we saw Kimberly and Hefner coming, we would turn and walk the other way. And it was true. We tried to stay away because we didn't want to do anything wrong that would hurt our career with Playboy. And we liked working. And if she got jealous, and you were talking to Hef, that's a good way to get blacklisted. That was true, okay? I don't think that just because she was in it, that she's horrible, or the adorable Black Lenny from the 70s, or any of the ones that we interviewed. They didn't, but then there was the other three, and then there was the bunny mother that just went off on crazy, crazy stuff that, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Was that BJ? Yeah. BJ?
Yes. And I never met her. She was before my time. Did you know her?
No, I didn't. I only knew her on Facebook, kind of, you know, and, you know, she would always, I didn't even know she was a bunny mother. I really didn't know her well. I don't know what her deal is. I have no idea. But why do you do this when he's dead? So, you know what I mean?
Even protect. And a girl being raised at the Playboy Mansion, this Jennifer Saginaw? I never knew she was raised there. She probably spent the night there once or twice.
That's
and maybe
right.
went up there a few times. And now she's wrote this book about being brought up there. And now they're seeing that the dates don't match, and A&E is actually mad at her because they're making them look bad because the dates are not matching up.
It's very sad. I think there's a lot of damage that has been done to really what the great things that Playboy did. And now there's really no Playboy, right? I mean, it's online. Have you even looked at it? Right. Well, what do you think? I mean, I don't know. I looked at it about a year ago, and it was very weird. I mean,
I think that we are even more special because we are the end of the era. An era.
Yes.
So that's what I think. And this very last Playmate that came out while Hef was alive, I feel like that is a lucky girl.
Yeah. It's very sad. I mean, the fashion magazines to me are revolting. I got L. I used to have L, and I don't relate to L anymore. The models are all overweight. You know what I mean? I don't get it. It's like if you're beautiful, you're not in fashion anymore.
I know. I mean, come on. They have people, I think, amputees now, and they have also the hugest size models and all catted up people. And, it's just not the way it was. And people don't like it. I have this group on Facebook called Playboy Playmates. I only started 3 years ago. It has 40,000 people. I okay about 20 a day of requests to be in this group. It's great. And they do not like the new Playboy.
No, I showed the picture to my husband, and he was grossed. I mean, he said, this is not Playmates. I mean, God. I mean, what is so awful about being genetically born beautiful? I mean, we are. And
right.
taking care of yourself and mm-hmm. being an example. I do have some young younger women who are lovely, and they say that thank you for being a role model. Okay?
Well, I think it gets back to what I said before, because it seems like there's this assumption sometimes, this naive assumption, that if you look good in a bathing suit, then there must be something else missing. And you mm-hmm. can't be a good person, you can't be brilliant, you can't be smart. I mean, we were, what are the other, I think there's a lady that we're trying to get on, Zadrock, I believe that's her name.
Johnny, please. You are wrong. The Playboy Playmates do not feel this. And I've tried to tell you this before. We're different. We're not just models. We're not just actresses, okay?
Playboy
Playmates. We were not treated that way, that we were not very smart because we were beautiful. We were treated
I'm not saying that you were.
I'm talking about Playboy Playmates. Boost you up so much. They make you feel you're the most intelligent woman and the most beautiful woman on earth. And you ask every time these Playmates this question, we don't feel this, that we ever felt stupid going anywhere, because Playboy built us up. We walked, we roamed the earth that way. Am I correct, Reagan?
I agree with Jonathan saying too, is there is this misconception of if you're really beautiful, you're deficient, you're dumb, you're this or that. And it's I don't know, this well-known lawyer, I don't know who he was at one of the parties, he just said, you girls who become playmates or women are genetically blessed. He said, there's only 12 of you in a year. And it's not just beauty sometimes. It's looking for something charming or being different. You know what I mean? There was something, not just being photogenic, but having something else. I mean, I don't know, some photo editor said half would look for something unique in each girl. And all a little different, you know. I mean, we used to be. And then it got to be, unfortunately, he was just choosing a lot of blonde girls, you know, that looked the same. But for a long time, it was a different type of, you know, I was 5'10", Gwen Wong was Chinese, she was, you know, 5'4", but each one of us were very unique and very different and beautiful, you know.
Right.
And,
because there is a woman for every man. Petite women. My mother would always say, I wish I had height. She was 5'2". I'm average 5'5". I could get away with saying 5'6", on my modeling card. But she always wished for that. And I said, Mother, no. That's what Dad always loved about you. Your size. Oh, my gosh, she was mad about it. So, you know, I tried to make her feel good about it. But in my year, too, very petite, you know, Susie Simpson, adorable. And then we had the redhead, and we had the Asian. We had a couple Asians, a black, and a few blondes. So, yes, and I have to look through and see. I am looking through at the end, 2013, 2014, 15. It's like they didn't do the sets up like they did with us. So they're standing by a tree. They have like one towel there. Some have nothing. It's just boring. You know how
it did. It got very boring. And now it's over. I mean, this thing that they're doing now with these whatever. I mean, I know really good photographers, and they're like horrified. What has happened to Playboy? I think they still have pretty playmates in Europe, don't they? In Germany and
yeah.
No, but Playboy is still around in Europe, isn't it?
Because I'm laughing because Barbara knows the playmate that's coming to my mind when she says that.
Yeah, we haven't even asked her to come on yet. Johnny is contacting her, but Victoria Zadrock, but she'll have something to talk about.
She's
beautiful.
That's
absolutely
not the one I was thinking of. You know the one I was thinking of. You know what I'm thinking of, right,
Penthouse.
Barbara?
Johnny, hold on, please. She did Penthouse after Playboy, and I haven't interviewed anybody yet who has done that. So that should be really interesting, right, Reagan?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
See what's gone on in her mind, but she's now, didn't you say, hey, Johnny, isn't she a doctor?
I think so. She's a PhD, and she's also a lawyer.
Oh, a lawyer. Maybe that's what I was thinking. Both. But, yeah, she's done very well. So, yeah,
PhD,
it's really fun to hear everybody's story. But, Reagan, thank you so much for your time. It is 6 p.m., but before we go, I want to tell everybody how excited I am because we found out that my sister lives in San Miguel, Mexico, and this
well,
is
I want
where you
to
and
meet
your
very
are.
Much. Yeah, and you have to come down here. It's beautiful. Come down in June when it's nice. It's a little hot right now.
So
and Jonathan, if you ever want to come, I'd love to show you around San Miguel.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, so that's great. And I'm just so glad to hear about your long marriage, 35 years to the same man,
yeah.
And you're in love, and you guys just pick up and move and are adventurous and have a wonderful business in Mexico.
Yeah,
Mexico,
it's exciting.
Mexico.
Yeah, our life is exciting. And we're going to hear Pink Floyd, not the real Pink Floyd, but there's a lot of music venues here. So we go out with friends and have a lot. We have a good time. It's good.
Is that this weekend?
This has been so nice, both of you. I really enjoyed it, and you're both such good interviewers. And I was a little nervous, but thank you both. It was really nice for me.
We're glad that you were comfortable, and it's just a conversation, and we so much enjoyed hearing your story. But before we go, is there anywhere you would like to tell the listeners to find you, maybe on Facebook, or to follow you anywhere?
Yes. Anyone who, you know, I still do get requests for pictures. I don't know why. A lot from Europe for some reason. But, yes, just send me, you know, information on my Facebook Messenger, and I can go from there. And, Barbara, I would love to connect with a group that you're on, so we'll connect later on.
I will send you the invite right now.
Okay,
Playboy Playmates, and we're going to send the link to this show to you and there, and it will be up on our YouTube channel later tonight. We are excited for more people to get to know you and keep those autographs going. Thank you, October 1967.
Reagan
Wilson.
Wilson, right, still alive. Thank you both very much, guys. It was great.
Good night, everyone.
Okay, hugs. Thank you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.